This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hi, Carm Capriotto, the Automotive Aftermarket Podcast Guy, and this podcast is dedicated to you. Hey, welcome to the 600th episode of Remarkable Results Radio, and enjoy some very candid talk and behind-the-scenes revelations from some of the very first episodes from my panel. Now, along with the fun discussion, the panel dished out some great advice as the podcast continues to set the standard and the tone for aftermarket industry podcasts. Our longevity is a testament to the leaders from every segment of the industry who have shared so that others have gained. We will continue to bring thought-piercing issues and commentaries so that you grow your business acumen. As I've said, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, this podcast is dedicated to you for listening and learning and for letting me know how much our content means to you. And a big shout out to the sponsors who make the podcast a reality. Please support them. We've reached three milestones this year besides the 600th Remarkable Results Radio. We've done the 200th Town Hall Academy, and we started Aftermarket Weekly this year only because you are there and use this resource. I welcome Greg Buckley from Buckley's Auto Care, Dwayne Myers from Dynamic Automotive, G. Jerry Trulia from TST, Bob Greenwood from Automotive Aftermarket eLearning Center, Kim Auernheimer from CS Automotive, and Matt Fonslow from Riverside Automotive. Now, I just heard that Apex 2021 will again have the best and the brightest trainers and another great schedule of technical and management training. This is specifically for you, shop owners and technicians. Stay tuned right here for more details. We'll bring them to you as soon as they're announced. And for now, make sure on your calendar, Apex 2021 is there November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. Stop spending time chasing customers. You know, Shopware's leading shop management system is helping shops just like yours generate more profit per ticket with less time on the phone. Break away from your legacy system and implement a completely contactless workflow today. Let 2021 be your year. Get started at GetShopware.com. Hey, you can find my panel's previous episodes, their bios, and the key talking points for this episode at remarkableresults.biz/E600. And thanks again. Hey, a warm welcome to a cast of characters that I need to tell you, I am so glad to call them my friends. This is the 600th episode of Remarkable Results Radio. Dwayne, do you remember episode 2? It was, oh my God, Dwayne, March or April of 2015, episode 2. And I've got the names and the dates and all the stuff for everyone who's going to be on my panel. But I'm with Greg Buckley from Buckley's. And none of these names. Oh, Greg's on again. Dwayne Myers. Dwayne's on again? Jerry Trulia. G's been on the least. But he's one of my most favorite Italian fellas.
Well, thank you.
Bob Greenwood is here. Bob's on again. And Kim Auernheimer, oh dear, love to hear that voice. We're missing one other. I'll introduce him when he shows up, but Matt Fonslow from Riverside is supposed to be here. And the whole theme of the show is to have you guys reminisce about the first time we met, and I called you. Bob, I got a great story to tell about you. G kicked off For the Record, and I have to tell you the story on how that happened, because I tell that story all the time. It's one of the reasons you're here, because I don't think I've ever told that story publicly. 600 Remarkable Results, 204 Town Hall Academies, 91 For the Records, 895 episodes altogether. And I couldn't have done it if it wasn't for the response of the aftermarket, their need for wanting to rise all ships, to share their wisdom and their insights. And for you, everyone who's ever been on this show, and whoever isn't on with me, I wish you could you could all be here. But it just couldn't happen, because I'm going to try to narrow this thing to like 15 minutes. You all have 30 seconds to talk. No, I'm only kidding.
Good luck with that.
Really? Bye-bye.
I only pick the people who really, they don't say much when you ask them hello and they go, okay. Hi.
Carm, you got to be fair. You got to be honest. It's because we've got the checks first before everybody else. That's why we're here. You know.
That's right. You're telling the truth, Greg.
That's it, man.
The first six that cashed the checks.
That's right.
Six or seven. Oh, my God. So I have to tell you something. Reminiscing about the 600th allowed me to go back and listen to every one of your first episodes. I know. Like, I had nothing else to do because I'm so busy. I'm building a new studio. Lots going on in my world with the podcast. But I listened, and I was at that moment. It's like, I can't believe I sounded like that. I asked those stupid questions that I did, that I couldn't believe how robotic I was. And some of you were a little bit like that too, because I think for the most part, it was your first podcast ever. And now, you guys have joined me many, many times and have done other shows. So glad you're here. I think I picked a certain particular order. And gee, I really want to start with you, because I can't wait to tell the story. It was Vision, and I think it was a couple of years ago when I got this wild idea to have For the Record to be a rant. And you were walking by the studio at Vision, and I yell out to you, and I say, gee, come on in here for a minute. I closed the door so he couldn't get out.
He locked me in.
And I said, I got this wild idea, and I explained For the Record to him. And he goes, that's a really cool idea. I said, do you think you have about 8 minutes of rant in you? And he goes, turn the mic on. And I did, and I sat back, and I listened, and I got goosebumps everywhere because he nailed it. He talked about training, labor rates, tech shortages, and standards, and he did it in the G way. He was outspoken. He was nasty. He was fun. You know, hey, you guys got to raise your labor rates. You know what I mean? And it was great. And I said, oh, I think we have something here. I didn't even know if I was going to publish it. And I loved it so much. I loved it so much. And then I did a few more, and then I started to call people, can you come on and do this rant for the record? And we did 91 of them until I decided to, there was a couple other fish to fry. Aftermarket Weekly got in the way, and I said, but I want to bring it back. I just want you to know, but I do. But so thank you so much for kicking off For the Record. We've done five podcasts together. The first was 70, just me and you. And, you know, one of the cool things about G is, of course, the big event that you hold in New York, and of course you couldn't hold it this year. You were talking about your training style and keeping students awake, and you were talking about the training vision of the future and podcasts and webinars. I mean, I went back and listened to it. You nailed the vision of where we are today in how virtual and webinars and live training is going to be an interesting mixture.
Well, I only have fond memories now, not because we were on Arthur Avenue eating some good food and drinking wine, you know, but I have very good memories of being on the podcast at Vision, at TST, just you and I on the internet, as I said before, with Pete. You know, always good conversation. You bring up good subjects and you know how to pull the info out of someone. You know, it's not like I speak a lot or anything. You know what I'm saying?
You mean the wine doesn't help?
It does, but I have none today.
I know we could get you going, but you're a world-class trainer. TST is a great organization. How many members are part of it?
Well, we have a very big list. I mean, in the thousands, people come from all over the world. You know, our Australia contingency, we have people over in Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Israel, and of course, throughout the United States. You know, last night I had my buddy Dave Hobbs on, who's been on as well, and amazing the people that come on, ask questions, and I really like it. I miss the live part of it when we would do the simulcast. You know, we have Dave or whoever the speaker was live and interact with these people from all over. Now this seems to be the new norm. The new norm that I think we got to get used to. And even when we do get back to normal, I think this is going to be a real big part. You know, I think the younger people like this type of setup. Many of my students, by the way, Calm, have told me, hey, I heard you on Remarkable Results. You know, they were listening as they were working. My manager always listens to your stuff while he's working. So that is something that is a bit different. You know, younger people, this is a good medium for them. You know, people coming out, travel, you know, expense, time. Like last night, by the time I got out, it was 10:30. Well, if I would have been doing it at home, it'd be nice and easy, right?
No, you'd be going to a hotel, having a cocktail or two with your friends from there, getting to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, catching a flight at 4 to get home. Do people really realize the grind and the work that happens, you know, when you travel and you go to events? Dwayne, I know you're so involved in the industry. Bob, if the pandemic wasn't on, you wouldn't even be here right now because you'd be traveling somewhere. You know, Greg, you're everywhere. Kim, you're doing so many training events now. Think about how the pandemic has changed us. Do you miss it all?
I miss the people.
Yeah, I miss people. Yeah. I think some of the older shop owners, you know, like what's present here today, we really enjoy and we look forward to the companionship, the friendship, the people. Training to us, if it's not specific, I mean, yeah, it's important, but just getting out and, you know, having a drink with you or saying a hi or a hello or, gosh, you know, a hug, you know, or handshake, all that is missed. I hope it comes back with a giant, you know, big old blast in 2021, you know. But as G was alluding to, the younger kids, G, you hit it on the head there, buddy. My guys are doing the same thing. My tech is listening to training that we've gotten from all over, and my counter, I'll go in and have the guys listen to specific audio that, you know, it could be from anywhere. But the format of learning virtually now, I think people are comfortable with it. And I think that as a profession, I think we're adapting quite well to it, and we'll bring other elements into it to even make it stronger.
Can you imagine if we went through this even just 10 years ago? We would be on our islands. We wouldn't have this technology, remarkable results. We wouldn't have this information to bring us together and realize that we're not virus. We're not alone. And we're just a webcam away. I mean, I'm thankful it happened now. I'm not thankful it happened, but I'm thankful it happened in this time of technology.
That's what brings the younger people together is the technology, and they love it. They love it.
Yep.
Anybody over 50 definitely misses the face-to-face contact. I get that. It's so efficient. And as Karen pointed out, the travel, the hotel bills. Yeah, we miss a drink once in a while, but we can even do that by Zoom together, you know.
It's not the same.
I know.
I've had some of the best wine in the world with Bob Greenwood. Oh, my God. And so he buys this at this event that we're at. And then I go into the liquor store, like when we get back, and I said to Annie, we got to get this. And I says, I couldn't afford it. Man, it was just a great wine. Now, gee, I got one final story to tell about the big event. And it was 2019. And Vinnie Waterhouse and me go back a long, long time. A long time ago. And I finally rekindled him. I sat next to him at dinner, at the G dinner the night before. And I says, I'm going to interview you tomorrow. Let's kind of get some ideas. Okay, no problem, Carm. Well, I chased Vin all over the big event. I chased him everywhere. His table was right outside of my little makeshift studio, and he was standing there, and I says, gee, come on, we got to do this interview. No, Karma, there's so many people coming up to the desk. And I finally said, he's mic shy right now. I mean, that's the only thing I can think about, because Bob, like me and you, me and Vin in the day, he used to come in, teach my customers all about the labor factory. We drank wine all the time, and I classified Vinny as a friend, and he was avoiding me. And I just couldn't figure it out. So I finally kind of almost like grabbed him by the collar and I said, come here, you're not getting away. Those people will wait. You know, you got brochures out there. I closed the door. And we did a fabulous interview. Fabulous. So anyway, that's another great story.
He is an animated guy that I know for years. Even when we met up in Alaska, we used to cross on the road all the time. Vin is just one animated, phenomenal instructor. He really is.
Yeah, you had him as the keynote. And he was actually leaning sideways most of the time.
Yeah.
Because if anyone's been in a Vin class, you know how he does that, right?
Oh, yeah. And then he'll run right up into your face.
Yeah. He goes down. He bends to the side. He walks in front of you. And he goes, get it, Bob? Get it?
He was the guy that taught us how to charge labor.
Yeah. That's the labor factor, right?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks so much, G, for being here. Dwayne, my friend Dwayne. Dwayne Myers, episode 2. Oh, God, Dwayne. You've been on 21 episodes. And here's the story about Dwayne. I had known Dwayne and his partners, you know, in a previous life. And I picked up the phone and I said, I got this crazy idea to do a podcast. Just come on and would you share your stuff? And it ended up being an hour long. And remember, it's episode 2. Oh, my God, I can't publish an hour episode. I can't do that. Oh, my God, what do I do? It was so good. It was so much fun. It was so terrible. It was the worst. I mean, I was reading questions. That's how bad it was. I don't do that anymore, right? So I split it up into episode 2, 3, and 4 because I didn't think my listener would listen. And that's back, you know, podcasting wasn't as mature as it is today. People are listening to Rogan with, you know, an hour and a half, you know, episode. And I was worried about 60 minutes with you guys. But it was March 2015. We did it in 3 parts. You guys spoke from your heart, Dwayne, and your partners, Jose Bueso and Lee Foreman, were on. And I think, did you have 3 locations at the time?
Yeah, we were at 3. I want to say it was probably a month before we recorded that when you called me and you told me about this crazy idea you had, and you were all over the place trying to come up, you know, with ideas, how to get it off the ground, make it work. And you wanted me to do it. And I said, no, I said, you need the 3 of us if you want the story. I mean, you'll get a perspective. The 3 of us, you'll have a story. And, you know, of course, in our previous life, gotten to know Carm really well. So there was so much trust there. And I wanted him to be successful. I just remember you told us, all right, before you start talking, since there's 3 of you, mention your name. So if you listen to these 3 episodes, you'll hear somebody, you'll hear Jose, he'll start talking. Oh, by the way, this is Jose. I mean, that was all right the first episode. But then on the second, third, I'm like, good God. I said, we know who it is. You know, we know now. I'd actually listened to these things about a month ago. I actually listened to all 3 of them again. I hadn't in years. And I said, man, hasn't he polished up a lot? What it reminded me of is when I see a brand new business owner getting ready to open his shop the first day. The nervous, the jitters, trying to get everything perfect. And as much as you think you fumbled, to me, you still knocked it out of the park.
Well, you guys made that episode because of the genuinity that you had. You know, you talked about the challenges that you had. I mean, right away, I mean, yeah, we had to get our banker. There were so many poignant stories inside of that. But you bring up a great point. Carm, this is Jose. Carm, this is Lee. Carm, this is Dwayne. It was my first interview with 3 people. It was my first. I said, how does the audience tell who's who? After a point in time, you just figure it out. The listener's smarter than I gave him credit for.
It didn't sound bad then, but when you listen to it now, you're like, wow, we got it.
And here's the final question that I asked everybody for about 6 months in a row. And I go, God, that was so cheesy, Carm. I mean, where'd you get that from? And so I listened to him in the last couple of days here to try to catch up on all of your podcasts. And as I said in the beginning, ugh, those early days.
Hey, that's what built you to where you're at.
But thank you so much for being here. I appreciate that. And is there any other great memory that came out of that those first couple of sessions?
We talked with you about your business as much as we talked about ours, you know, and getting a sponsor and getting off the ground, you know, getting people to listen. You know, at first, I remember you calling me back after you released them and you said, I've been trying to get a hold of this person, and this person, and I can't get past the gatekeeper. You know, they won't let me through. You know, so you're like, would you call them and tell them to answer the phone? And I was like, all right, I'll call them. 6 months later, I was getting calls. Hey, you know, Carm? I said, yeah. Can you introduce me? You know, it's amazing. It didn't take long, but it went from, you know, the doors were shut to there was no walls. You know, everybody then wanted to be on the show, you know. So again, just watching your business, you know, knowing you pre-podcast, you starting it, seeing where it's gone. It's been a great ride to watch where you've taken it. It's impressive and what you've done. I mean, I know all of these people because of you, and I know them well. Would it have happened? Yes, I think I knew Bob before, but I've gotten to know him a lot better. I think we're better friends because of you. But like Greg, I'm sure I would have met him, but I wouldn't know him the way I do. So you brought us together. It's amazing.
One of the things that I realized into being the Aftermarkets podcast guy was that I was connecting people. I wasn't a connector, but maybe I am today because, you know, how many times we'll have 3 or 4 people that don't know each other on a show? And you would think the way they talk to each other that they've known each other for years. It just works. I think what we've created, people have never been on the show, never heard of it. They'll go back and they'll watch something and says, man, this is like having a conversation at Starbucks with people that I know from high school. And it just works. And I'm grateful to all the people that came before anyone, as we subsequently build the show, and how comfortable people are being, on and sharing and bearing and being as transparent as they can about their world, their life, their business.
Yeah, I think it's great. It really is. I mean, you bring everybody gets to get together on your show and you just break down everything. I mean, it's all common stuff, or I guess people see others and they realize that, hey, they're not alone. They're not on an island. And this person may have the same problems I have or talks about the same experiences. And that brings, that communal situation. And it's great. So, yeah, you've done some miracles, my friend.
You know how to bring people together, my friend. That's what.
Yeah,
that's what you get.
Comfortable format. You just feel like you're part of it. Automatic.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And to me, it was ultimately a goal that I had, and I'm so happy I reached it.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Matt Fonslow gives a formula on how to strive for greatness. Hey, the Virtual Apex Experience 2020 is in the record books and brought the best and the brightest together to create an experience like no other. I was so impressed with the breadth of topics and world-class trainers who presented at Virtual Apex. And Virtual Apex, well, they delivered on their commitment to the service professional and provided seminars dedicated to technician and business management training. And Joe's Garage and Repair Shop HQ highlighted the commitment Apex has to the service professional. The great news is that all of this was recorded and it's available on demand on the virtual platform until December 5th. So if you earn your living in the aftermarket and you value training, product demos, and meeting your industry peers, Apex 2021 will be your best destination. Mark your calendar right now for Apex 2021. It'll be November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. Be there for the great homecoming. Listen right here to learn when you can start registering. Shopware's innovative shop management system will give you back your time and put more money in your pocket. Make the switch today and watch technician efficiency gain 20%, enjoy increased recommended service, and even grow the highest parts profit margins ever with the smallest amount of work. Steve from Ultimate Automotive says, I love that Shopware lets you complete every estimate on the inspection, and we even have a higher ARO, receive more approvals, and have had a significant increase in revenue. With our previous SMS, estimating was limited because it was so time-consuming. This impacted not only what we could sell on each customer's current visit, but also what we would have prepared for following visits. Hey, your peers are happy. Let Shopware work for you. Book a demo at getshopware.com. Matt Fonslow finally showed up. Hello, Matthew.
How's it going?
I am great. You were supposed to be the second person in the order, so we're backtracking to bring you on. Thanks for... trust me, I imagine that you had a, leave the shop. Yeah, I could tell you're at home now doing this episode. Let me share with you that Matthew has been on more episodes than anyone here. He's a giver. It was like a year and a few months into the show that I said, I really need to bring on a technician or two or three or four. We need to get a technician's perspective on stuff because we keep talking about business and in that whole world. And I wanted to do an episode on ASE, and it could have been Ryan Koyman, who subject matter expert, and who was it? Dan Baumhart from ASE, and Matthew was this guy I never met who was on that panel, and it was a great episode. It was episode 122 in June of 2016, and I liked Matthew's contribution so much and the way he thought about stuff, his analytics on stuff, that I invited him to do one episode with me, episode 146, that was about maybe 10 weeks later. And subsequently, when I look at the panels and the one-on-ones and all the tech talk shows that we've done, you've been on 39. So you're done. You're not on any more. We're finished. We're finished. You're done. I mean, that's I can't do 40. We just can't. Oh, shit. This is the 40th.
Everybody's on it.
This is the 40th.
The interesting thing is he's probably the, in person, he's probably the quietest of us all, too. Put him behind a mic and he goes.
You own shares in this thing, Matt?
No, not yet. Figured I'd build it up really valuable and then I'll buy the shares.
Any thoughts, Matthew, about that? Those first couple?
The first one, Ryan calls me up and he's like, hey, I just did this interview with this guy named Carm. Never heard of you before. Had no idea what he was talking about. Of course, familiar with podcasts, but not this one. He's like, seems like a really nice guy. Seems like he really does care. And I was wondering if you want to come on a show with me and Baumhart and talk about ASC and really talk about what's going on behind the scenes, like in the workshop. You know, you've been in a few workshops. Could you speak about that? And so honestly, there's no pressure because I was kind of in this group conversation with two of my really good friends. You know, it just worked, right? It was an easy thing to talk about. I already had a, kind of an attitude about it and a message, I think, a belief to try to get across to straighten people out about what's really going on at ASC and all these misconceptions people have about the process of generating exams and then even the process they use to discriminate between knowledgeable test candidates and less knowledgeable test candidates, that so many assumptions are made. And, you know, ASC is probably partly to blame for not being a little more open about that.
So after we did that episode, I said, hey, I got to have him back on. How was that solo
That event? Was nerve-wracking. That was really nerve-wracking. I felt really tight. The closest I think I got to being myself is when you asked me, when I look in the mirror, do I go, I'm different? And I'm like, yeah, I'm different, all right. I know I'm different.
You talked about craftsmanship on that episode, a tech's personal commitment to training, recruiting technicians in the industry, grounds and sensors, real-world training applications and specializations, all the things we still talk about today.
Yeah, it sounds like I can't focus on one topic, right? And just all over the place, scatterbrained.
What you all need to know is G and I text a lot. Greg and I talk occasionally. We used to talk a lot, but occasionally, because he's busy with the grandchild. But Matt and I, we talk a lot. And so on his drive to work, he's an hour behind my time zone. He'll pick up the phone and I just put it on speaker and I go about my work and he goes. And I said, I think we have another episode.
After that, he made the mistake of, hey, if you ever have any ideas.
Yeah, that's right. If you ever have any ideas, you brought the one with addiction. Matt's such a wide and deep thinker as it comes to the real world and how it relates to business and how it relates to automotive and the consumer, that I get mesmerized in his thinking. And we have done some phenomenal stuff. I mean, if we want to go back and take a look at all of those 39 different episodes, there's not many the same at all.
No.
And then we hooked up with Bob Hype and Peter Laundry at Vision once, and I had no idea. I don't think I ever met Bob or Peter, and it's the driest, wittiest, craziest, in-your-face sense of humor, and I wasn't prepared for it. And they're going, and I'm thinking, edit, edit, edit. And I kept thinking, oh my God, this hour show is going to end up being 25 minutes because of the edits that I was going to have to do. But I said, this is interesting, and it's fun, and it's different. And we've done 9 tech talks together with those 3 guys. And there's not one of them the same. And it is the most highly edited show. I will not give it to my daughter to edit.
Depending on venue, there tends to be a few F-bombs dropped throughout. And I think we snuck one through. One of them got snuck through.
No, I don't think so. No, I don't believe so. I think, and if so, you better tell me which one.
That's one of the first ones, I think.
So anyway, it was always so much fun to do those shows. And as we just continue to do things together, Matt, thank you so much for all that you've done for the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks for giving me an outlet and living with the, you know, the scatterbrain type of inability. You know, you're talking about wide range of interests, and I do. It's a good thing and it's a bad thing sometimes because I see the interconnectedness of things. Like, it's hard for me to just focus on one area because I see these other things involvement in it, and it gets very difficult to just pick one spot and stick with it. And you've granted me the ability to jump around, but also you can bring me back and redirect me. And
what's cool about me and Matt and our relationship is that when we're done, what could I have done better? I mean, we actually, I think Matt has groomed his abilities, because we've helped each other post show, and he's, you know, talk about scatterbrain. You know, if you really, you know, I'm a squirrel and there's a nut and there's a nut, and so is Matt. So my job when Matt calls is to listen, and I sit there going, oh, I want to say something, but you know, he's going and going, because we both are very much alike. So thanks again, Mr. Buckley. 27 episodes.
Oh, I thought it was in the 30s. Gosh.
Oh, I think I said 30s the other day, didn't I? I went back and I counted. Let's call it 30. I want to make you happy. It's 30.
I got to catch up with Matt. I mean, geez.
All right. Well, for the next 5 weeks, we'll have you on every show, okay?
Right. Right. Okay. Sounds good.
We have an episode in the can that we recorded last week, and it's all about an octopus.
Yes, it is. Well, a little more than that, but yes, that is that's the start of the show.
I keep playing around with the idea of what am I going to title this show about the octopus. And again, Greg knows how to take something that's over here and bring it down to here.
Well, this show might actually expose me for the lunatic that I can be in terms of thinking processes. And if Matt goes deep, well, you know, I might be trailing right behind him. I mean, it sounds that way anyway.
Your first episode was 19, okay? Mm-hmm. One of the things you said, you know, we're a more than a head under the hood business.
Yes, we are. You know, it's funny. I actually listened to it this morning just to make sure that, okay, I know he's going to start number one, but where do we go? And you know, I think the sentiment and what I was talking about actually is still fairly relevant. It was like 5 years ago, back in 2015. It's true today what I said back then. Now, we are more than a head under the hood. We have to concern ourselves with a lot more than just the physical repair of the car. That's our primary. That's our function. That's our job. But our role in the transportation grid is immense, and our responsibilities and what we mean, not just for the consumer or the motorist to go from A to B, but just think about everything that rolls. One of our colleagues somewhere down the line is responsible for getting that from A to B. So, you know, it just makes you think of bigger horizons. And from there, you can take your business and do what you need to do. And gosh, there's a lot of great options that shop owners can take. So
you talked about urbanization, less driving. Yeah. By the way, you talked about having a vision and your plans, and I want to ask you a question about that. You mm-hmm. talked about messaging, social media, client profiles and analytics. You talked about telematics and the nanny syndrome. And if you want to think about something from that long ago in 2015 to where we are talking today, we're talking the same stuff, Greg. So yeah. You were visionary back then. I mean, I think you're not a deep thinker, as you are, but you're a long thinker.
I can't worry about me having a business and going from 20 years or 30 years and retiring. I've got family and generations and stuff I got to build on. So I need to be that person who's thinking ahead. Plus, I really like it. You know, when you and I get together, a cup of coffee and all that stuff on a Saturday morning, we have a show by the time we're done.
Well, actually, that's what we say. I should have recorded this.
You should have recorded it, because the content's really, the conversation's great.
I remember talking to you about something you were working on with a service company. And I can't remember where I was, but I was at a conference. No, I was at some school event. I can't remember what it was. And I'm walking back and forth in the lobby of this place, talking to you for an hour on the phone about some things. I will not mention any names, and it was so much fun to chat with you, because you were in an invention mode and you shared with me. And because I'm an ideas guy, I mean, we were floating stuff back and forth. It was a lot of fun. Even off record stuff is fun to do. Yeah.
Oh, it is. It is, really is. It's really important. We talk about it in the show coming up, how important it is to actually take time to think and, you know, get your bearings down and, you know, your meditation in the morning and, you know, whatever you do, your mornings or your think time is the best way to do it. So, you know, that's where it comes from. But, you know, the funniest thing is when you started and I got to be on number 19, it was Todd Westerlin who actually referred me to you, I believe. And what that did was, you know, you called me and we, you know, we were nervous and, you know, what house is going to turn out? And Todd had referred you to me. And then before you know it, you know, we're on the show and having fun. And then I get to meet you in Detroit, I think was the first time. I believe we met at the ADOS event, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. You're right. You remember we got in my hotel room and we recorded an episode?
Yeah.
It was you and it was Bill and it was Frank and God.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to remember. I think Ray Fisher was there. We absolutely had a blast. One of the my favoriteest pictures of all of us sits up on my website on my photos page. It's a cool memory I have.
You've done a great job for 600 episodes. I couldn't, like we've all talked before the show or during the show here, you have brought such camaraderie to everybody. And you should, everybody does know your name. And that's great because if they know your name, then they probably know us and we know them. And that's what the spirit of this profession is. And I don't need to speak for myself. I can probably speak for everybody here today and most of our, and all of our listeners is that we're the best of the best as a profession. I mean, we're all passionate. I could not think of any other profession I could have been in. And for as long as I've been doing this, since 8 years old, I haven't wanted to do anything else. There's nothing else that has ever attracted me. It fulfills me. This is an evolution. What you've done is you've brought the transparency to the marketplace. And I hope that, you know, each of us here today, we open up and we are able to share our passion and what we feel about it. And then episode after episode after episode, you hear it consistently. So we couldn't ask for anything better. So, man, you got it.
In 2021, I want to say, how do we teach our neighbor? And I don't mean our neighbor next door of our house, but our neighbor competitor down the road. When I first started to do this, I really walked away with realizing that the top cream of the crop in the industry, I called it, I always said it was like 15%. Is really the top of the crop. They're on fire. They're doing the right thing. They're reading. They're leading. They're being coached. They're going to seminars. They're being a perpetual student. 5 years later, I have a feel that we have now improved the industry. Not me at all, but the industry continues to groom and grow. I'd say now we've got a top 20%. Bob, you may agree with me or not. I'd love you to chime in on that because you're in that industry to know. And I believe since there is so much on fire, so much teaching and training and available webinars and training, and the coaching companies went to a new level over the pandemic and continued free training. Everybody has a chance to learn. I think there's a benefit there. And I look back to 5 years ago when there was nothing like is going on today. And I actually have a warm feel in my heart that so many of you decided to come on here to tell your story or to share your wisdom. And that's what's going on in our virtual training today. Do you agree with me on the top 20% that the industry has improved, Bob?
It has. It has. And it's so nice to see. We have a lot of work to do. No doubt about it, but you can definitely see it, feel it. And to me, the whole stature of the aftermarket is changing in such a positive direction. And the ethics of these people are just superb. They want to do it right. They want to serve the client properly. This profession is just incredible, and they're turning it into that. And that's attracting the young people. Those generations say, hey, that's not a grease monkey show at all. That's serious stuff. Through this kind of a concept of what you've developed has been allowing us to get together, get the message out, and start being consistent in our messages. And they hear it over and over. So growing from 15 to 20% is a huge thing. We can do better, and we will. But, you know, we just got to stay at it and keep going forward. People on here, you know, Matt, Dwayne, Greg, gee, Kim, you send the confident message. It's a consistent message, and it's the right message. That's what we're about, and we will keep getting better.
Thanks for that. Kim, I want to take you next. My God, 14 episodes there or about, because I guess my counter's wrong, Greg.
16 with one coming up.
Yeah, we have one coming up. And let me tell everyone what that is. 2020 Woman in Auto Care Shop Owner of the Year. Yay! Congrats, Kim.
Yes, thanks.
And so all the award winners from Women in Auto Care, I'm going to be interviewing you guys next week. I always do. I've been doing it for years in a row now. And usually we do it at Apex, but you know what happened this year. So we're going to do a virtual. So happy. Congratulations, husband Rob. I went back and I listened, and you told the story. I'm in the real estate business. What do I want to do in automotive, right? And
then, you know, yeah,
God almighty, are you kidding me? You know, what about my income and my health care and all? It was really, she told this very transparent story of how her and Rob decided that they were going to get together. And it was, I claimed in the episode that this was my first married couples interview. You were my first married couples interview. And then from then on, great wisdom that you've come to share. And you guys are a dynamic married couple, husband Rob. How are you treating Rob lately?
Well, some days, he's doing fantastic. He's actually working out on cars, and I'm actually working in parts and dispatch. So we're in the shop right now for the first time in a long time. It's a good reason. It's because we are swamped. And we are absolutely swamped. So we've got, you know, we had to add another technician. So until we hire somebody, he is out there turning wrenches and I'm doing his job. So it's been interesting to be back in working in the business. We've worked on the business for so long, and it's refreshing. It's also insightful to get back into the business. So I think I shared on that first episode, it's a different workplace when you're working with your husband. And there are challenges that we have as a married couple. And I think the message that I was trying to convey, I remember prepping. I was so nervous. I had 3 sheets of notes of things that I wanted to talk about or I wanted to mention. By then, I think I was looking, I think it was 117 or 113. So you've had 113 under your belt. So you weren't as robotic. It was easy. I got done. I'm like, I didn't even need the notes. It was so easy. You allowed us to be transparent. That's something that I always strive to be as transparent as possible. When we're having a bad time at the shop, I'll let you know we're not perfect, but it was easy to be transparent. It was easy to be, you make it easy to be us. And that's what makes it so fun. I remember the first time I met you though, it was at Apex that same year. And I remember seeing you across the room as that woman in auto care at the cocktail hour for the awards. And I saw you across the corner and I thought, he's never going to know who I am. You know, it was like I was starstruck. It was kind of funny being starstruck. And then just, you know, to actually meet you. And I have since then consider you one of my mentors and one of my dearest friends in the industry. So I appreciate that. Thank you. You're so kind.
Wow, how kind. And guys, you have no idea how much fun it is to hang out at the Woman in Auto Care cocktail party.
It's way fun.
it's like hitting heaven. It is just...
I show up for that one.
You see? Yeah, definitely.
All the movers and the shaker, the woman in the industry, it's like... It's just unbelievable. I just can't say enough about your friendship. In fact... Kim and I, she had just found out about her award, right? And you said, I have a secret to tell you.
I think you were the first person I told, actually, besides my husband. We were talking about another episode. I'm like, by the way, I'm not supposed to tell anybody just yet. But it's because of the relationships and the friendships that I've made, you know, within the industry, and especially through my associations with, you know, I think, I don't remember who it was, it said it, maybe Dwayne was saying, I would never have known these people the way I do. I've shared, you know, a bottle of wine with Bob Greenwood. I didn't get that good wine though. I had to talk to you about that. I sat at a table at Vision with Carm and Bob and several, there was about 5 other just legends of in the industry, you know, educators and coaches and trainers. And then there was me. And it was just, I'm like, I don't belong here, but I'm going to sit here and I'm going to soak this up.
But that's how I feel. Thank you for the kindest words. I appreciate that. But let's move on to Bob. Let me tell you my Bob story, because I have one. It was I think it was Detroit, Bob, and you were on center stage at a ASA event, and you and Malin shared the stage. I was there as this young podcaster to take notes, to continue to immerse myself into the business as deep as I could, to meet people, to shake hands, to look for interviews. And Bob's on the stage and Malin's on the stage. And I'm starstruck, Kim, by both of these guys. I go up like a fan would be, standing in line with my business card right here, waiting to talk to Malin. And I give Malin my card and I said, I'd love to have an interview. And I'm watching where Bob is going because I want to get Bob at the same time. Bob disappears before I get a chance to go to Malin. I had a choice. What line do I get into? Sorry, Bob, I picked Malin first.
Story of my life.
Don't I get on an elevator? And Bob's on the elevator and I'm standing right next to him and I'm starstruck again. He just made this great presentation. He's this really smart guy. And I got to do an interview with him. And so I can't remember the details. All I remember is being on the elevator with you. And did I give you my card? And did I give you the 30-second elevator speech? I can't remember.
Yeah.
I think you said, okay, or call me. Call my agent or something like that, right? Did you say that?
I remember those times. They were so funny. And, I enjoyed meeting them. I know after I left, I said, I got to spend a little bit more time and figure that guy out. just the way you came across. I said, okay, this is going to be different. Oh, and by the way, the wine is Duckhorn.
Duckhorn Merlot. I'm not a Merlot fan, but OMG. I think you paid $150 for that thing because I think it's like $90 in the store.
You know, you guys, you either do it right or go home.
I counted 30 episodes, Bob.
Has it been 30? All right.
Episode 49 was our first.
Oh, I remember that. And I watched it again. And man, did it bring back memories. So I remember when you asked me to do the podcast, I said, well, I've done interviews before, but I've never done a podcast. And saying, okay, this is going to be interesting. And he's done a whole bunch. And geez, you know, I better be on my game. But what I didn't realize, it was going to be an audio podcast, not a video podcast. And so I show up in my suit. I'm feeling quite late dressed. I got to be a professional, have my coat on, look good. But that didn't mean anything. I just listened to it. I couldn't believe how many points in that first podcast we had covered off in that time frame. And it was just the way you approached it. And I was a little strong for the first minute and a half, and all of a sudden it just flowed because of the way you handled it and the way you allow podcasts to come out and the way you interview a person is just so natural that a person feels very comfortable having a discussion with you. I think well done from that perspective. I think it's just amazing. They're so hard to find people that can really have an interview with you that is really just a great discussion. It just flowed naturally. And so what I did is just I took that first episode and 2 days ago, I sent it to my clients. I said, just listen to this. This was 5 years ago. Does it kind of summarize what we've been doing for the last 5 years, all the points we're hitting on and that kind of stuff? And they all came back and said, this is where we're going. You know, you saw it 5 years ago and you've been leading me down this path. And yeah, I talked about the staff. I talked about culture. I talked about all that stuff. And they said, yeah, there's a lot of points in there. And one guy says, you've been so consistent. I said, well, that's all I've got to work with. I said, but it's amazing what was covered off. And to this day, that the various podcasts I listen to with all you guys, you know, Dwayne, Kim, and Greg, listening to your podcasts, you know, when you do them, I just say, what a natural flow. You're so comfortable just sitting there having a discussion with Carm, or if it's the group, everybody just feels natural within the group. And this is where our aftermarket has come from. And I'm sure in 2021, you'll be bringing on some new people as well. It's going to be watch just how natural they will be when they're on your particular show. But you've brought it to a different level, Carm. And I think the entire industry is very grateful for what you've done for the industry. And it's just been amazing.
Thanks for those extremely kind words. I appreciate that. Bob just related a story from 5 years ago to this is who we are and what we are. How come there's so much granite out there to get through? Who's not listening? Who's not doing? Who's not leading? Who is not raising their hand and said, it's time for me to get off this terrible roller coaster that I'm on and buckle down?
You know what signs are for? People that read them. This podcast is here for people that actively are seeking to improve themselves.
I had texted my coach yesterday and said, hey, we're busy. I'm trying to figure out if this is, you know, result of my marketing, if it's result of, you know, because I did some increased marketing on geofencing and some other things. And what are other shops doing? How is it for other shops right now? His response was that those that have been working at it are working, you know, or something to that effect. And I think that those shops that aren't here are the ones that are probably up in here right now trying to figure out how they're going to make it. You know, if I could just get on the rooftop of CS Automotive in, you know, Nashville, Tennessee, and say, you're going, you know, if you want your business to succeed, you've got to listen to other people. You're not, you know, and again, I'm going to use that saying, get off your island. You know, your little Wilson is not going to save you. You know, we've got Carm, we've got Greg, we've got Dwayne. Getting out there is a challenge. It's getting people to actually tune in is a challenge. And I don't think you can only say that maybe they just don't want it bad enough, or they don't know how bad they need it. And so all we can do is keep preaching.
And Kim, you know, you brought up a good point there, is that it has to change. And I find the biggest struggle is with anybody who's over 50. They've been in business for 15, 20 years. They're so set in their ways, and they're not really addressing the future properly. All of you know that the reason you guys have got great businesses is because of the way you communicate. You communicate first with your team avidly and regularly. You keep them in the loop. You ask for their opinions. How do they feel? And that's a phenomenal culture. And that kept your company moving forward, because, you know, they don't have a job. They have a career when they're working in your organization, because they love to be part of the company. And they don't buy into nothing. They believe in you. What a difference in my psyche. I buy in it to keep a job, but when I believe in it, I want to be part of it. And you look at that. Now, the other avenue is the communication with your client base. More communication has taken, understanding their parameters, their situation. Are they working from home now? What's going to happen? How do they see the next 3 months, 6 months of their life panning out? Is work okay? So the more communication you have with your client base, you got the picture. Now you're developing everything, and it works around the client, and your team understands that. You know, so we've talked about it before, you know, trying to sell something. We don't sell anymore. We counsel, you know, for safety, reliability, and efficiency of the vehicle on behalf of the client. They're hiring us for that. We don't have to sell them a darn thing. They're hiring us for that.
You kind of covet what you see every day. And if you are in a community, large or small, and there really isn't that shop to look over at and see what they're doing and go, why can't I be more like that? And then you go to a lot of Sage on the Stage type classes, and it's this is how I do things. If you want to be like a Roman, do what the Romans do. They need to find this podcast, because it's that in between of listening to shop owners, managers, technicians say, I used to be where you're at. I took this path. I had to get a coach, or I had to start buying certain tooling so I could gain this capability. I had to go to this type of training. I had to send my text to training. You don't know what you don't know. If you're just sitting in there comparing yourself to your own small world, what do you strive for? You're going, well, I'm better than the shop down, you know, shop B and C. So we're the best shop in town, and we own one scan tool. I've never heard about an independent shop with 20 scan tools or three, you know, or specializing. I've never heard of an independent shop that only works on two car lines until they listen and find this podcast. So that's why Carm's successful. And I think it's also the road to further, you know, raising the tide.
Well, and the neat thing too is with 600 episodes, you can go onto his site and put in the search, what topic do you want to hear?
Yep.
Bingo. Fantastic.
Thanks for bringing that up, Bob. The keyword search, if you just click on resources and keywords, you'll see the over, I think, 80 different ways we tag it out, or we segment it out. And when people call me or write me, message me in social media, they say, I'm interested in this. Basically, I go to keywords, I click it, And boom, all of a sudden, there's this really cool URL up in the line. I copy it and I send it to him and says, here, go listen to this stuff. I know there's something in there that'll help you, which brings me to the point where this is coming out on Christmas Day, right? And it's wild. 600, December 25th, Christmas Day, really cool. I will open up maybe a duck horn, you know, on that day. Let me say that while this is being broadcast on Christmas Day, go back to December 11th, podcast episode 596, which actually comes out tomorrow as we are recording this, right? The day before that day. We're recording this on December 10th. And it is an episode that I've wanted to do for a long time. A shop owner says, Carm, recommend a coach. And I said, no, I'm sorry. I'm Sweden, Switzerland. I'm neutral. I can't. I won't. I love them all. They all contribute to the show. We wouldn't be where we were if it wasn't for the great coaches in our industry. But what I can do is send you a link to all their episodes. I said, but before I send you that link, would you do me a favor? Would you come on to a show and actually be interviewed by these coaches? And so he sent me back three coaches that he would love to have on the show and have the interview. And one of them was Bob. And the other one was Bill Haas, and the other one was David Justice. And that episode comes out tomorrow. And I'm kind of excited about getting it released and seeing what kind of feedback we get. Here's why. You know the advocate I am for having all ships rise. Why not let this kind of intervention, interaction, whatever we want to call it or classify it, help people take that really important step?
Good. I'm looking forward to hearing that.
In fact, if you look at my website, you'll see a new logo there. It's called the Aftermarket Radio Network. Check that out, because in Q1 of 2021, we're putting all these shows under a big banner called the Aftermarket Radio Network, and there's going to be more shows to come. It's like, I don't know where I'm getting this energy, but I get it from you, and I appreciate Kim Auerheimer, Matt Fonslow, Dwayne Myers, Bob Greenwood, G. Trulia, and of course, Greg Buckley, being here in celebration of the 600th. Thank you.
Thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you, Carm. Thank you.
Thanks, Carm.
And a very Merry Christmas.
Yes. Merry Christmas.
To everyone.
Yep.
Merry Christmas. Christmas, everybody. Yep. Yeah, that's great.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.